Now this evening we're going to look at Song of Solomon chapter 5. Chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 2 down through verse 8. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. I sleep, but I'm awake. I'm sleepy, sluggish, but yet my heart is awakened. It's awakened by the Spirit of God. In our study this evening, these verses tell us something about ourselves as true believers of the gospel. We are sinners saved by His matchless grace, sovereign grace. But we still have this old sinful nature to deal with that very often greatly hinders us in our spiritual growth, hinders us in our true worship, hinders us in blessed communion with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We're often hindered by this flesh. You remember in Romans 7, if you want to turn there, when the Apostle Paul talked about, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Verse 18, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. What a terrible thing this is to have this nature of the Adam nature, and then also being born of God, we have that Spirit of God dwelling within us, and there is a constant battle between the two. And Paul finally said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. And then he throws up his hand and said, oh, wretched man that I am. You remember what he said next? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Within each of us and within each believer. Now I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Within each of us as believers, there is a constant battle, a constant warfare of this sinful flesh, the Adam nature and that new nature created in Christ Jesus. Paul writes about it in Galatians chapter 5 this way, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Isn't that so? That which is born of the flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. In verse 2, the Lord calls His people to eat. Or in verse 1, the Lord calls His people to eat and drink abundantly. Remember verse 1, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Now eat, O friends, eat abundantly. Drink abundantly, O beloved. The Lord calls His people to eat and drink. But look at the slow, sorry response. I sleep. I'm sluggish. I'm really not interested right now. This is not the sleep of spiritual death of an unbeliever, but rather that of neglect and drowsy indifference of believers. Remember our Lord said, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. How is it known unto us when prayer becomes a burden, when devotion languishes, when worship is just going through the motions? Going through the motions in the flesh rather than an eager, holy zeal to seek the Lord. We often get that way, don't we? I do. Robert Hawker had this: every believer goes through times of coldness and indifference to divine things of the gospel. And though we often fail Him, He cannot and will not fail us. His love never fails. He cannot fail. Everybody knows John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I mean, everybody knows that song, even the lost religious person. But not many people know this song of old John Newton, the preacher back in the 1700s. 'Tis a point, he says, I long to know, and oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. Could my heart so hard remain, and prayer a task and burden prove? Every trifle give me pain if I knew the Savior's love? I mean, here's a man who was used of God in a mighty way to preach the gospel. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and wild, vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord in need, tell me, is it so with you? Yep. Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love him at all? Could I joy his saints to meet, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord at all? Lord, decide this doubtful case. Thou art the people's son. Shine upon this work of grace if indeed it is begun. Let me love thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray. And if not loved, if I have not loved thee before, help me begin today, right now. 'Tis a point I long to know. You see, that is a case, that's an honest believer before God. We have times of doubt and fear and anxiety, and then we have times of great joy and peace resting in Christ. But here's the hope of grace. Look at verse 2 again, chapter 5, Song of Solomon. I sleep, but my heart's awakened. My heart's awakened. Here's a call of grace to the sluggish, cold heart. It's the voice of my beloved that saith, open to me, my sister, my spouse, my dove, my undefiled, open to me. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Do you remember what he said in chapter 4? Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Down to chapter 4, verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, the smell of thine ointment, than spices. Open to me, my beloved. Thank God he does not leave us alone in these cold, sluggish times. Not completely, not totally, not forever. He knocks at our heart's door to awaken us to come unto him and open unto us. We read a moment ago in Revelation 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, while I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord knocks. How does he knock? He knocks with the preached word by his sovereign. He knocks by his sovereign providence. He knocks by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord will not leave us alone. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He will not leave us alone, for you're bought with a price. We're bought with his blood. We are married to him in that eternal covenant of grace. And he must have us, and he does, and he will forever by his purpose and by his grace given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're bought with a price. He's going to take home what he bought. If you spend a large sum of money for a precious gift, would you discard it? No, you bought it. It's yours. You take it home and enjoy it. That's what the Lord's going to do with his church. He's going to take us home and enjoy us forever. Now look at verse 3. Here's an awful example of what degree of vileness and ingratitude of our sinful nature, what it's capable of. ungrateful excuses we often make to justify our own spiritual laziness. Look what it says in verse 3. I put off my coat. This is the beloved coming to the heart's door. And here's a believer saying, well, I just don't have time right now. Can you come back another time? I put off my coat. I don't have time to put it on. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. I don't want to get him defiled again. I've taken a bath. I'm getting ready for bed. Here's an awful example of what degree of vileness and ingratitude our sinful nature is capable of. We are capable of such spiritual laziness. Thank God our Lord is long-suffering and patient with our ingratitude. For he knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. Remember we studied in Hebrews 4, verse 15, he was tempted and tried in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to have a sorrowful, aching heart. He knows our weakness. He knows our inability. But that does not excuse us. We are responsible and accountable to the Lord. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We have to do with him. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. Here's the excuses. And the Lord doesn't quit on us. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. And my bowels were moved for him. The Lord takes that sovereign hand of mercy and sticks it right in our heart. Right in our heart. Notice his sovereign power. My beloved, my Lord, my Savior, he put his hand in the hole of the door and my bowels were moved. They tell me the old timers, those doors of years ago, they didn't have locks like we have now. You could put your hand through the door and move the tumblers inside that big wooden door if you knew the combination, and the door would swing open. That's what the Lord does. He puts his hand in our heart and he knows the combination. And he just opens up the door and comes on in. Thank God he does. Here's what our sovereign Lord does to recover us from the dullness of heart and spirit. He puts his almighty hand of mercy in the door of our heart. He has the keys, the ownership of us, and we are called the sheep of his hand. He's not discouraged by our lame excuses, but boldly takes possession of us, and he invites himself in. Aren't you glad he doesn't leave us? That he opens the door and he comes in. Remember from the Revelation study in chapter 1, verse 18. Our Lord said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. He has the key to our heart. He owns us. He bought us. And notice the response. My bowels were moved. God ever sticks his hand in your heart, you'll be moved. You'll be moved. I want to be moved. I want him to stick his hand in my heart and do a work of grace in my heart. My bowels, my heart were moved. I thought about this in Luke 24. We've read this many times. Remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? They were walking on the road to Emmaus after the Lord had been risen from the dead and after he had appeared to some of those disciples. And the Lord drew near unto them and listened to their conversation. They were somewhat disheartened. They said, we thought this is the third day and we thought he would rise again and we'd have a kingdom. Everything would be great. And the Lord opened to them the scriptures and they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened the scriptures unto us? Remember, he began at Moses and all the scriptures. He opened to them all the scriptures in the thing concerning himself. And what did their heart do? It was moved. It was moved. I pray the Lord would speak to our heart that way and move us. How our hearts rejoice that our Lord will not leave us alone. Not totally, not finally. He opens us up inwardly to turn us to Him by His effectually calling us with the gospel to the heart of His people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. Turn and read this one with me. Turn over here to Isaiah. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Verse 7. Isaiah 54, verse 7. Isaiah 54, verse 7. For small moment I've forsaken thee, but with great mercies I'll gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. This is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Thank God He will not let us go. He's married us in that covenant. We're one with Him. And though oftentimes we don't sense His presence, He's always with us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now look at verse 5. I rose up. You see, when He sticks His hand in the heart of the believer and our bowels are moved, now I rose up. No more excuses. Now I'm seeking the Lord. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hand dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Ready response. I rose up to open to my beloved. Here's the sweet effects of God's grace. We see how quickly His sweet and sovereign grace does affect us. No longer any excuses, no longer any indifference, but hands and fingers dripping with myrrh. Myrrh here is a symbol of grace. Symbol of grace. Turn back to chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, Song of Solomon. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breath. He's a bundle of myrrh. He's plenteous in mercy. Delight to show mercy. Hands now in verse 5. Hands now are ready for service. Fingers ready to feel after Him, ready to fight for Him. And here's the believer ready to report for duty when the captain of our salvation calls us. Then we contend for the faith once delivered unto the saint. Then we fight the good fight of faith by His grace. David writes this in Psalm 144. Let me read it to you. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Now look at verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called, but he gave no answer. Here's an alarm. I opened to my Savior, my Lord, my beloved, but he withdrawn himself. Now this is not a final and total departure from us, but rather a temporary and necessary departure in order to teach us of our constant need of Him, to teach us to be always ready to seek Him and to serve Him out of love to Him, believing and trusting all His precious promises. You remember this wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Trust Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. His love to us and His affections for us are never diminished, for He loves us with an everlasting love. He married us in that eternal covenant of grace forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. This is familiar scripture to all of you here. He that spared not his own son, Romans 8:32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I mean, that covers everything, doesn't it? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in him. Nothing can separate us from his love, for he loved us with an everlasting love, with loving kindness there. He draws us to himself. But this temporary hiding of the Lord's presence and a suspension of his influences by the Holy Spirit are only temporary. And he does it for our good. David, on more than one occasion, David, the sweet psalmist, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 77, he said this, is his mercy clean gone? David was at despair, wasn't he? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? No, it doesn't, but sometimes we often think that. How our heart and soul of the believer does fail many times. When we call on him, he does not answer. Or when we seek him, we do not find him. How sad that is for us. How heavily we go all the day if we find nothing of his communicating and quickening grace daily to sustain us when the Lord ignores us when we call upon him. Now, he's not totally forsaken us, but oftentimes he withdraws his manifest presence to show us our need of him. Lord, have mercy on me. This is for our good because it causes us to truly and earnestly seek after him. Jeremiah, the Lord says to the prophet Jeremiah, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Turn back to chapter 3. Song of Solomon chapter 3. Look at verse 1. You remember these verses? Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I'll rise now and go about the city and the streets and the broadways. I'll seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that goeth about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I found him by grace and would not let him go. Look at verse 7 now. Chapter 5, verse 7. The watchman, and here's these watchmen again, we read in chapter 3. The watchman that went about the city found me, and they smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. I believe these watchmen here are pictures and symbols of God's servant. The watchmen and the keepers of the wall represent God's faithful preachers of the gospel. Thank God for his faithful watchmen, the servants of the Lord who will not allow us to hide behind any flimsy excuses, but out of love to our soul and the glory of Christ, he'll take the word of God and operate on our soul and wound us with the sword of truth and remove the veil of sluggishness and take away the covering excuses, exposing us before God. That's what the preaching of the word does to his people. Isaiah, we read, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sin. Lift it up, don't spare, cry aloud. You see, it's the word of God that rebukes us when we get cold and sluggish. That's why Paul, when he writes to Timothy, says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Boy, that's the day in which we live, isn't it? Cry out and spare not. Thank God he rebukes us with the word of truth. With the word of truth. He rebukes us when we know. When we need it. Whom the Lord loveth. You remember Hebrews 2, 12 rather. Whom the Lord loveth. What does he do? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He said, if ye be without chastisement of the Lord, you're not a legitimate child of God. Now look at verse 8 in closing. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell ye him that I'm sick. I'm sick of love. I'm sick in love. He's lovesick. And that's the believer seeking the Lord. He's lovesick for his Lord. Tell my Lord I'm sorry for being ungrateful. Tell my Lord I need him at all times. Tell him I cannot rest until I find him, until I know I have his pardoning mercy and renewing grace. Tell my Lord I'm sick with love for him, full of love for him. Tell my Lord that I need him, that I want him, that I love him. The psalmist said this, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. Be not silent, O Lord, and I'll give thee thanks forever. Lord, speak to our heart.